That's right, folks. The drive is live. Clint has decided to cover up that hair today. For some reason, I mean, he was crushing it. He walked in. He walked into the media party yesterday. Got
rocking that flow.
Got some. Ooh, I like the hair. Compliments on the hair. I want to say Tyler's hair looks great too, but he continues to disrespect his barber by covering it up, and I know it looks good.
I'm a hat guy.
It pisses me. It really does piss me off because he. And I thought John Lopez brought up a great point a couple of weeks ago with Luke. Luke has great hair too. You'd never
know
it.
He's got so much of it.
And he just covers it.
Yeah.
And you do the same thing, and you're doing it today too. But at least you gave us that yesterday. But
Well, you can't let it go to your head. You can't overdo it, man. That's the kind of thing.
Go to your head.
But you can just do it though, Tyler.
I'm a hat guy. I'm just a hat guy, man.
I think it's a.
Tyler wears a hat like he's balding.
Well, no, it's some level. I think it's an insecurity of yours.
But why?
It's not an insecurity. If anything, it's like a time saving thing. Like I just don't want to do my hair and style it and stuff, so I just throw a hat on. I have good hair.
I think you think you look better, cooler, finer, cooler? Sexier.
When in high school
with that lid on. I think that's the key.
I wouldn't wear it. Nobody wears anything that they don't think looks good, though.
Fair. Very fair. I'm with you on that. I just don't think you're giving your wig the credit it deserves.
It is. I don't know. Honestly, you are reminding me of Lance McCullers. Lance McCullers has a fastball that he can get it between 93 and 95, which is a good, solid fastball, but he doesn't have the confidence to just throw that thing across the plate. And Tyler has great hair. And I think you may be speaking to something, Clint. He just doesn't have the confidence to just rock it.
It just feels better with the lid on, covering something.
And
up.
Right when he gets it cut, and that's when you know it's good. He'll have that little part that he slides in, have it, and it's just.
Y'all also know I got the old OCD, so I know every placement of every hair when I'm wearing a hat. I ain't got to worry about thinking, oh, I wonder if this fell down over here, did something I didn't want it to do. It's just there, and I know it's fine.
Yeah, that's all right, man. I just want you to know.
I know,
man,
I'm weird. It's fine.
I just want you to know you have great hair too.
Thank you.
And you two yesterday could have been matching. Now I will not see B until tomorrow, so I'm in a bad spot. But
I'm going great. Maybe
of all of us out here, I should have a hat on.
Nah, you got rid of Harold's ass. You good?
Nah, that ain't it. This is front. This.
Nah, you good?
When your son says to you, "Dang, Dad, your hairline is all over the place." I turned to him in my mind and I said, "Boy, I hope you go bald." And I know that's terrible for me to say, to him, but I did. I did say it. All right, good show today. One more day until training camp, but we got to start here, Clint, because yesterday was a big day, right? As you said, just don't go into Seattle and get swept. You didn't. Seattle now all of a sudden has to play the hottest team in baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers, who out of nowhere now have the best record in baseball because they have now won 11 straight, including winning yesterday in Seattle. The first five innings, George Kirby had a no-hitter going, and they lost 6-0. And they end up losing 6-0. The Brewers have won 11 straight. They got the best record in baseball. And as you said, just don't get swept. If you can get out of there with a four-game lead, it'll feel good. You go out yesterday and you beat Arizona. They lose to the Brewers, and now the lead is back to five. You feel pretty good. And you got Framber on the mound tonight. Shout out to Colton Gordon, who did what he needed to do to keep the game where it was. Although it felt a little rocky. Four pitches, two hits and a run right off the bat for him. But yesterday, Clint, was the Bryce Matthews game. 2-for-4, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs, and baby, he looked at them jokers. He looked at them like he'd been here before. He looked at them like he knew what he was supposed to do. So shout out to him. It was a Bryce Matthews game, but Clint, to me, it felt different than the Hummel game or the Short game or the Shea Whitcomb game, or even the Trammell game. This one felt more real and sustainable and not like, ooh, this was a wish come true.
Yeah, I don't think it was. I mean, obviously, the fashion in which he did it, he kind of arrived at the Major League Baseball level last night. I mean, people had high expectations for him as a prospect. Yeah. I don't know if you have that level of expectations. You know, your first week or 10 days in the big leagues, you hit two bombs that you can stand on home plate and admire kind of deal. I don't know that was what anybody expected out of him, even though the expectations were absolutely through the roof. But yeah, Ron, this is officially the hold 'em off phase, right? I'm gonna hesitate. If everybody were healthy, it would be, hey man, how comfortable can you get at the end of the season with the lead in the division kind of deal? But that's not where we're at. It's how long can the other guys, the Space Cowboys, you know, half the Space Cowboys lineup being in the big leagues with the Astros, how long can they hold off the rest of the division? And how long does it take for these other cats to get healthy? Last night went a long way in that for sure. With Bryce, you know, balling at the plate as well as just extending that lead in the division back to five.
No, that was big. And he looked, it does look different. Obviously, I think also coming into it, as you said, knowing he's your number one prospect.
Yeah.
And one of the top prospects in baseball, you look at him and you're like, and just that you know, that swing, there's a level of confidence. There's a level of what, you know, like, hey, I'm supposed to be here. This is what I was supposed to be doing. And he looked good out there. And that feels different, right? That one feels, I know. Tyler said this yesterday, and it was hilarious, but so true. Talking about, man, half the damn lineup out there, Space Cowboys. Now, I know Bryce has played for the Space Cowboys this year, but he feels like a guy that as you said, he could be here.
Right.
Like
he belongs in the bigs. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah,
it's not if, it's when, right? He absolutely belongs, and I think you can see that just in the skill set alone. But and it was showcased in a big way last night, obviously, but. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, man. Next up, who is the next guy going to be that's going to help the Astros win a game or two in dramatic fashion? Which guys right now, boy, you got to be chomping at the bit to get your ass up out of Sugarland and get your shot in the big leagues.
You know, you got a chance.
Like everybody's not only getting a chance, but everybody seems to be producing in a big way.
Real quick, both of you, in 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well. I know I said, like, hey, man, it kind of feels different than, like, the Cooper Hummel game, the Zach Short game where he walked him off when Tyler left early, the Shea Whitcomb game where he hit a homer. As we said, Cooper, he hit a game-winning homer in the eighth inning of a 0-0 game. I added Tremel in there. Tremel feels a little different than those other guys too. He feels like Chaz might have a problem on his hands with him. He feels like a guy that I don't know necessarily if it's an easy decision to just send him right back down if everybody got healthy. I think what Taylor Tremel is doing is a little bit more than Space Cowboy-ish or, you know, as they call it, 4A player. He looks like he belongs too. He looks like he is somebody that in the postseason you would want on the roster and can play a role for this team.
Well, I think if you – there's guys that come up like Bryce Matthews that you say, hey, we always knew it wasn't yes. if, it was when. Is he going to be an Astro when he becomes a player? And when does he become a player? And when he gets here, it's like, okay, yeah, two bombs of that fashion impress you, but it's like, okay, here he is. Taylor Tremel, I think, was a little bit of a roll of the dice. What are you going to get out of him, right? I mean, the batting average is low. The plate appearances weren't pretty at all. He was kind of just the next man up to fill a spot, to fill a void on the injury-ravaged lineup kind of deal. Well, then you get out there, and it's not just about one big hit, right? Because you look at – what game was that this weekend when Dubon threw the guy out at home plate? It was a Mariners game. It was the last Mariners game where they win that one or lose it. I can't remember if it was
the they
Saturday
won the
night
last,
or Sunday night.
Sunday when they won.
Well, I can't remember which one it was, but it was the left fielder Hummel, I believe it was, misplayed a ball at the end of the inning. And Tramiel got over the top with speed and backing him up, being smart, and throws it into Dubon, and Dubon hoses the guy at the plate. And then Tramiel comes up and he doubles, and he comes up and he home runs. And you, point is this guy is an emergency outfielder, any spot. He is a left-handed bat that can do it with power. He's proven that. And while he's playing the outfield, he's made some smart plays that weren't always the ball hit right at him. It's the smart plays, big plays. I think that's earning your stripes and earning your opportunity to get that last spot on the roster come important games or even playoffs. Yeah.
Text line come through. Tramiel has had two good games, lots of bad. He needs to show more to stick around once guys get healthy. I don't agree with that. Now, I'm not saying he's been going off. I think Tramiel has done good things moving runners. He's had some big, to me, I know they don't seem like big things like his hits or his home runs, but he's had some big sacrifice flies. In where I was looking, I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if he's going to be able to get it done. I think he's played some good outfield, as you said, at any of the outfield positions. I'm not saying that he's about to come over and take a job and be a starter. I'm saying he looks like somebody that could be on what I think they plan for Chaz to be, like a fourth outfielder that comes in. He's a guy that can pinch run and steal bases, which they don't have a lot of. I just don't think he is somebody that's going to just go right back down or be an easy decision.
Well, look, this is something I got this in the 4 o'clock little tease here. I got it in the 4 o'clock. Which Space Cowboy is actually got legit staying power? Look, I think this is. It's a conversation, guys. Nobody, Ron's not giving him the start in center field spot, no matter what happens to Jake Myers in the playoffs. It's a conversation of if this team, which is, there's been a lot of conversations about needing left-handed bats. There's a lot of conversations about wanting left-handed power. There's obviously an outfield problem until everybody gets healthy. You got an outfield problem. And to your point, the guy that you would like to be the fill-in for Jake Myers being down is Chaz McCormick. And Chaz, I don't know if anybody's paid attention, but Chaz ain't necessarily lighting this thing on fire the last couple seasons. So, yeah, hell, there's definitely, I think, a spot to be earned there, and he's got a long way to go to earn that spot. But I think Taylor Tramiel is definitely one to watch in terms of having real staying power.
Yes, yeah, as someone texted in, I'd rather have Melton as a fourth outfielder. I would just say Taylor Tramiel has played into a position where he could challenge a Melton or Leon, as I'm seeing coming through.
Sure.
I think in that range.
Well, I mean, he's got a lot of work left. Yes, he's got, I mean, all of those guys, everybody you just mentioned has got a ton of work left, and he just happens to be the healthy one right now that's getting the work. And the stars are aligning for him to open some eyes.
He's the healthy one that can play all outfield positions that you can run and put in and steal bases in a rate that maybe those others don't do as well, if not at all. As a pinch runner, I think he has a chance. If he gets sit down, I wouldn't be shocked or say it's blasphemy, but I think he most definitely has a chance. Hey, it's a big day right here. It's a big day right here on the drive. I want to let you know that it is a, here we go, show. It's a Texans Ticket Tuesday.
Aye.
Those three T's will get me.
Yeah.
It's
actually the two of them that get you, but yeah, I got
you. Right. It's a Texans Ticket Tuesday. You got a chance to win a 4-pack of VIP tickets to Texans camp every hour on this show today, folks. We will do it a little bit later on in this hour, but make sure you stay with us. And when we give you the cue to call, 713-572-4610, you can have a chance in the 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and 5 o'clock hour to win a 4-pack of Texans tickets, VIP tickets to training camp. This should be a really interesting training camp. This should be a fun training camp and a training camp that has some battles and some guys that fans will want to watch that you haven't seen a lot of, from the receivers to some of the O linemen. This is one to watch. Gardner Johnson, some of the new additions, so you may want to be into checking that out. So stay tuned for that. 2, 3, 4, and 5. Your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets, VIP tickets to Texans training camp. All right, coming up, speaking of training camp, tomorrow we will be out there 9 o'clock. You'll be able to listen to Sean and Brandon Scott. They'll start it off, and then In the Loop with Reggie Figgy and, of course, the OG John Lopez. They'll be out there live, and then we'll be covering it. But Clint and I will be out there watching camp, and we're going to talk about it. Training camp's tomorrow. What's on our minds? What's the number one thing we are still going to be looking at tomorrow when we get there? Is it the O-line? Is it the secondary? Is it the receivers? Is it the rookies? What is it? We'll discuss that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Rock and roll, meow.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Remember, coming up later on in this hour, you will have a chance to win a four-pack of VIP tickets to Texans training camp as it gets started tomorrow, 713-572-4610. We will let you know a cue to call, and then you can get a chance to win that four-pack of tickets. Coming up, oh, I think Tyler's going to enjoy this. Clint might too. I got a random top six that just came to my heart. I got a random top six.
Top six?
Yeah, yeah. I go with six, man. I just feel like it's always more than five.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't want to go 10. You know, that's too much work. So I got a random top six that I want to get. I want to get off my chest. But tomorrow we'll be there as it feels like the football season will officially start. There's no more breaks, probably wasn't until the bye week, and that'll be a week, and then they get right back at it again. But for the Texans and Texans fans, hopefully this thing is rolling all the way through until February. So the Texans are rolling. Football season officially starts tomorrow, and Clint, we've talked about it a lot, but as you go in tomorrow, there are a lot of storylines, a lot of things we have talked about leading up to training camp, a lot of things on people's minds. Mine is still Nick Caley.
Okay.
Nick Caley is still the one. We've been able to watch him every step from OTAs to mandatory minicamp, and now it feels like this is up another notch. Obviously, you would know if there's a difference between those camps. Then you get to training camp. He is still, to me, like potentially the biggest question mark and potentially the most important part of this team going into this season. And he is still the guy, Clint, that I'm going to be really eyeballing and watching and just seeing how he operates as a coordinator, how the offense looks and everything with him. I think Nick Caley is still like the top thing that I'm looking at.
Well, there is an enormous amount of pressure on Nick Caley. Say what you will. D'Amico Ryans has done a hell of a job re-energizing, really rebuilding the organization, re-energizing the fan base, winning games earlier than he should, doing everything you want your head coach to do. He's done a hell of a job from a defensive perspective, building the defense, calling plays, being a weapon on the sideline from the defensive play caller position. The one thing that's holding this team back from being a real Super Bowl contending team and getting beyond just the, hey, we're the favorite in a bad division, the one thing that's holding them back is offensive football. And nobody's going to believe that it's C.J. Stroud. Nobody's going to believe that it's Nico Collins. Nobody's going to believe that it's Joe Mixon. Nobody's going to believe that you got a $12 million tight end you can't get right. That is not – all of that stuff could be true, but it's pushed to the wayside. There is an enormous amount of pressure on the offensive play caller to not only call plays and be a weapon on the sideline, but also make sure that you get your best players the football, that you protect your quarterback, that you make this offensive line work. There is probably an unfair amount of pressure on Nick Caley, if we're being honest. And, yeah, so I think, Ron, it's fair to think that that's a huge watch in – training camp to shoot.
And the other part is, with that pressure, I think especially fans, and hell, I think everybody, the expectation is for this offense to be better than it was last year. I think there is at the very least an argument that this team has less proven talent offensively than they did a year ago.
Well, it's not an argument. That is 100% true.
I know you believe that's true. I think there are some people who will tell you that some members of the offensive line maybe better than last year's, and that, you know, Titus being in that spot maybe better, and you know, you add Nick Chubb, and I'm just saying, some people may, but at the very least, at least proven talent. Some people probably really believe Noel and Higgins can be something, but we just haven't seen it yet at this level. But just to make the point, he has that pressure that you talked about, and there is an argument that they at the very least have less proven talent, NFL talent, than they did last year. But the expectation from fans and from national people is, although this will be better because they have a competent coordinator.
He's got to check this out. He's got to do more with less. The guy that just got fired was calling plays that allowed C.J. Stroud to win Rookie of the Year. That allowed C.J. Stroud to have a season
2 years
that
ago.
I agree. I'm going to get there. That same guy that just got fired, whatever he was doing, he did enough to get a free agent signer. Actually, it was a trade. Joe Mixon was a trade, wasn't he? Last minute trade, I think. A Pro Bowl, 1,000 yards, 10 wins, second round of the playoffs. Like, the bar for Nick Caley, fair or foul, the bar for Nick Caley is extremely high. You can be the reason that this team doesn't make a run to the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl, but you can't be the reason this team doesn't make the playoffs. You can't be the reason that this team isn't far and away the better team in the division, right? And if you're not, and it falls at the feet of the offense, Nick Caley's going to be the one catching it. I mean, Nick is – there is a crazy amount of pressure for what he's got to live up to, and now we get to the fact that he's greener than ever. He's never called plays before. So, yeah, I'm with you, Ron. I mean, this is the one thing that should be on everybody's mind before we see anybody take a snap is what's Nick Caley going to look like.
And I look at this, Clint, and I will say, and I know for you, as someone just texted in, you must take account for injuries last year. Yeah, I know. I think maybe Nick's predecessor would like for some people to take account of that too. But I would just say,
Guess what? If you're an injury cat, guess what? Nick Caley got the same guys that played with. There's no Tank Dell. There's no Stephon Diggs. There's no Laremy Tunsil, who was healthy the whole time. Right? So yeah, I mean, I get your point. It's a valid point. But we're comparing two offensive coordinators here. Nick Caley's being asked to do more with less.
Well, hell, Bobby would say, I'd like to get a hand at Higgins and Noel as opposed to Hutchinson and Metchie.
Yeah.
That's right. Two and three, but I would just say this for Nick Caley, and this is something we'll see too, coming up over the next several weeks and months. Is I hope, because I know there were some issues with a lot of people with the play calling, and some of the things that his predecessor did. I just hope for Nick Caley that he has, whether it's due to injury or just play or whatever, that he has better parts to have a chance to be more successful than his predecessor.
Well, not that you're saying this, but the truth of the matter is he's not going to have better parts. You better hope he just – the lesser parts, he has a better whole.
or they're better
with
in
a
some
– W, Tyler.
Or they're better in some form, right?
Yeah, that's like, what I mean. Like the whole is better than the sum – what is the phrase? The whole is better than some of the parts? Something like that? Yeah, I mean, you just hope that you subtract Laremy Tunsil, you subtract Tank Dell, you subtract Steph Diggs, and the guys that come together actually bring the team closer, and the whole team is better offensively. But look, let's not – this is what Nick Caley signed up for. Nick Caley didn't walk in here with a man, be patient with me and let me learn this thing. Nick Caley joined a team that needs to win right now, and the offense has got major problems that they got to fix right now. I mean, he joined a team that's second round of the playoffs looking to go to an AFC Championship and a Super Bowl. I mean, this is what he signed up for.
Yeah. At the very least, I hope that Nick Caley is in a position where he doesn't have handcuffs on him with play calling, with just taking things out of the playbook or things he wants to run that I think his predecessor probably had to deal with. All right, coming up, you got a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets. We'll do that as soon as we get back. And some news. The Rockets add another player in this offseason. They're not playing around. Another potential piece within the rotation. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, let's do it. Caller number 7 for C.J. Stroud. Caller number 7 as we start this thing now. Caller number 7, you got a chance to win right now as Tyler will take care of you right now. A 4-pack of tickets to Texans training camp. Caller number 7, 713-572-4610. Tyler will get to you. Caller number 7. We will do this each and every hour. This is the first one. The next one will happen in the 3 o'clock hour, 4 and 5. But caller number 7 right now, your chance to win a 4-pack of VIP tickets to Texans training camp. Training camp starts up tomorrow. There'll be plenty of opportunities for fans to be in an attendance, but you got a chance to get VIP tickets right now and throughout the rest of the day. So make sure you take advantage of that. Tyler has got the phone lines filled up, and we'll take care of you, and hopefully we get another winner. This should be fun. Good for you all. Again, as I said, next time we'll do that in the 3 o'clock hour. All right, Clint, before I get to my top six, my random top six, and it's going to be one of your favorite subjects of all time. Actually, not yours, but Tyler's going to freak out. My top six coming up. Top six boy bands of all time. My top six boy bands of all time. I'm sure many of you in your mind feel like you've got a thought. I think there's an obvious number one. But I feel like there may be some arguments at the top. And this was made for Tyler Milner. I didn't get any input from him. I probably should have discussed things, but I did not. But my top six boy bands coming up. Tyler Milner is built for this. I'm sure he will have some thoughts of it. He is a historian for boy bands. But Clint, the Rockets, they add free agent forward Josh Okogie. He's agreed to a one-year deal. $3.1 million. He has been a veteran around the league, played with the T-Wolves, played with few teams, Phoenix as well recently. But he's me and Reggie were kind of talking about this before the show. One of the 3-and-D guys, more of a D guy, I would say, for defense. Not anything else for defense, more of a D guy for defense. Can occasionally shoot the three, but not as strong. He feels like he fits Clint right in with what Ime Udoka wants to do. I think he'll be somebody that people like. His effort and how hard he plays is easily above average defender on the perimeter. Gives him another guard. I think has a chance to be in the rotation. The question is for him is he going to be able to shoot it well enough to get more minutes than maybe you would think. But this is another good player, good guard that they add. Another move for a team. It looks like this is a team that is going forward and putting themselves in the best position throughout the roster to have guys to add to the team.
Look, man, I mean, this doesn't do a whole lot for me, to be honest with you, about my excitement. Okogie ain't going to do a whole lot for me, but the level of, I don't know what is going to do much for me. In a sense of improving
this isn't a Durant move or anything,
right.
But yeah.
I mean, I can't get any more excited about what the this upcoming season for the Rockets.
To me, the thing that if you're a Rockets fan to get excited about is, like, you can see the seriousness of what they're trying to do. They are putting in a every single situation or position that could be of issue, they are trying to fill it. You know, they're going over the top. Like, did they need Clint Capella when you already have Steven Adams and Alfred Shingun? Probably not, but they didn't want to leave anything to chance with injuries, and this is another add. So good for them. All right, so that is the news with the Rockets there. They add to the roster. All right, you ready, Tyler? You ready for this?
I was born ready, Ron.
All right, before I give the top six, I do want to give my best of the rest. Best of the rest. This is going to tell you how strong this list is. Groups that didn't make it. B2K. You remember them? Remember old B2K, Omarion and that crew?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That group, not a bad boys band, but didn't make it. Little 98 Degrees, Tyler, couldn't
make it. Old Nick Lachey didn't make it.
No, Nick didn't make it. Jonas Brothers, not on this list.
Good.
Wow.
They are not top five.
That was a strong.
Six. I'm going to be judging this Ron top six very, very critically. Yeah. It's a hell of a subject to kick off the top six.
O-Town, not on it. Yep, not on it. Those are the best of the rest there.
You better not disrespect NSYNC.
Good fool.
Swear to God.
Tyler, man, it's a very fair list. I think it's always going to be a fair list. All right, let's do it. Number six. May come as a surprise. New Kids on the Block. I'm starting at number six. New Kids on the Block.
We'll work out the kinks.
They come in at number six. No Grammys. No awards there for the Grammys. But they did have some big hits, Step by Step, The Right Stuff. They are kind of the ones that brought along the Backstreet Boys and the NSYNC. They were big there during Clint's time. I don't know how much Clint banged on them, but they were big there during Clint's time. So number six, New Kids on the Block. Number five, this one's a hard one for me, and I saw somebody on the text line roll through. I got to go New Edition, and I think a big thing for me is when you spin off and you have stars that come out and have individual success as well, New Edition, fantastic. Bobby Brown, probably the most known one. He was really kind of strung out. Johnny Gill, he was a strong one that came in for Bobby. Ralph Tresvant had him a nice little run. Then we got what was it? Belle Biv DeVoe. Mm-hmm. You got a little Poison. That song lives on. That is a New Edition. Very. I would have them higher. Not a lot of award success. Some of it not their fault. Maybe the time frame they weren't really looked at as much. But Candy Girl and Can You Stand in the Rain? That one flows all day. All right, Tyler, this one you might have some issue with. Number four, I'll go Backstreet Boys. Backstreet Boys, 9 Grammy nominations. Some hits like, what's that? Everybody.
Yeah.
There you go. I want it that way. They really came on the scene there in the late 90s. And kind of started it, then that kind of fled through the rest of the groups like NSYNC and O-Town and 98 Degrees behind them. They were big Steel Tour. Still going in Vegas right now. Backstreet Boys, I
saw them in Vegas.
I bet you did travel to go see them in Vegas.
Back in the day or recently?
Not at the Sphere where they are now.
Are you going to watch the old men dance around, jump around the floor?
Maybe. I've seen Backstreet live twice.
Yeah, I ding them a little bit because who was it? Nick Carter is their biggest spinoff success.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
I think they're really good. They absolutely deserve to be on the list.
I'm just glad to see them below wherever you have NSYNC, and hopefully you have them in the right spot.
All right, I got them as number four. Number three, this is a hard one. I feel like they could be higher on the list just because their accomplishment. But I go Boys to Men. Boys to
Special
Men.
Special place in my heart right there.
They are technically the only group that's won a Grammy on the list, which is crazy. They got 4 Grammy wins. You hear this, End of the Road, One Sweet Day. They had that great song with Mariah Carey, which they won a Grammy for. They were big, and they count, boy. Especially when old Big Dude would kind of come in with that deep voice and his talking. Oh, that would be my favorite part, when you just start talking in the song. So, Boys to Men, I roll in at number three.
I hear you, Melvin Taylor.
There's only 2 spots left.
Number two. Sorry, Tyler, NSYNC. NSYNC, no Grammy wins. They do have 9 nominations, and they are technically the highest selling band, a boy band in history.
How about that?
There you go. They're up there. They passed up Backstreet Boys.
Say it with your chest.
There you go. I'm giving it to you.
Justin, JC, Joey, Lance,
yes.
Chris.
Bye bye.
Y'all
bye.
Are the goats no matter what this fool said.
That No Strings Attached album was huge, sold a ton. And I give them credit. This is why I jumped them over Backstreet Boys and Boys to Men. They have a great spinoff into a solo artist in Justin Timberlake.
Oh, he's so good.
He was fantastic. I don't know about the rest. Lance Bass somehow gives him points too, I guess. So that that's fun. But number one.
Oh, that's where NSYNC should have been.
Number one's the Jackson 5. I'm sorry, Tyler. I know it. I mean, here you go, ABC. I'll be there. And there is no better spinoff superstar. I love Justin than Michael Jackson. They got they had Black Hang Michael Jackson, color Black Michael Jackson in the group. ABC, it's gonna be. I'll be there. So many hits they had, and they were all brothers. Their dad tried to kick their ass into stardom, and he succeeded. Yes, and they came out of Gary, Indiana, to pull this off. I got Jackson 5. Number one, Jackson 5. Number two, NSYNC. Boyz II Men. Number three, Backstreet Boys. New Edition, number five. And New Kids on the Block,
six. It's not bad.
I know you're – I don't think you can put NSYNC over Jackson 5.
I'm sorry. Your argument for these five young gentlemen named the Jackson 5. I can hear it.
I know that your preference is – Listen, and some people are texting it. Some people are texting in Jodeci. I don't put Jodeci as a. I don't think they're. A
boy. Yeah, I wouldn't put that in that category.
I don't think
too
they're
old.
I know Boyz II Men and New Edition is R&B, but I think these are guys that all sung equal parts, and they all did different things. There was a lot of dance in all of it as well, and choreography
with the lead guys singing and the other guys kind of harmonizing behind.
Yeah,
them.
I don't get that. D. Scott says New Edition should be criminal. It's criminal. They should be number one. I'm sorry. I love New Edition. I do. They're not over Jackson 5. They're not over.
It's gonna be bang.
I can't give you that, B. Scott. I understand your frustration, but. Yeah, again, the Beatles. I'm sorry, the Beatles
That's
are not.
It's not a boy band, and they're the most overrated act in musical history. See,
You always just take it to
That's an far. Insult to NSYNC, Backstreet, all these guys on this list. Hell out of here with that English BS.
They're not a boy band, but they're not the most overrated band. They just happen to be the most influential.
Overrated. Go sip some tea, MFers.
Coming up as we continue here. Coming up. The NFL came out with what their best rosters are. ESPN, their best rosters. We'll let you know where the Texans are and if it's fair and what this means they have to do and how they can make up the difference of talent, at least according to many people at ESPN. We'll discuss that coming up next.